Bill Flores joins us this morning from D.C. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing great, Scott. Good to be with you on News Talk 1620.
So now, y'all have been off for 4 or 5 weeks, and the first thing I hear is there are people talking about leaving again already.
Well, yeah. We were supposed to come back for 3 weeks before the election, this week, next week, and then one of the weeks in early October. But given how it's difficult to get things done around here with the Senate not doing anything really to speak of, they are talking about abandoning that first week in October. Really, the things that we need to get done between now and the election are related primarily to the continuing resolution to keep the government open past September the 30th. Beyond that, I just don't see us getting much done with the Senate, so there's not much point in hanging around.
And there are some, I mean, there's the farm bill, there's a postal bill, there's violence against women. I mean, there are a lot of things that are out there in line that need to be acted on.
Oh, I agree. I'm not saying this is my idea of how to run the government.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that it's unfortunate because Harry Reid is not going to let the Senate vote on anything to speak of. He and John Boehner have agreed on the continuing resolution, but beyond that, there's little agreement on anything else. So it probably makes more sense to spend time in the districts with our constituents. You know, I wish we had a different Senate. I wish that we could get more done. We need to work on tax bills. We need to work on deficit reduction. There's a lot of things we could work on, but Harry Reid doesn't want to do any of it.
Now, there is a bipartisan group of senators that are negotiating about a $55 billion debt down payment, if you will, that would stave off that so-called fiscal cliff that's supposed to be coming up. So do you see that there's anything that can happen out of that that might maybe kind of break the logjam?
Well, I wish I could give you something to be optimistic about, Scott, but unfortunately, you could have 10 senators deciding they want to do something like that, but Harry Reid's not going to let it come to a floor vote.
Bill Flores joining us from D.C., and, you know, to stop for a minute and talk about that fiscal cliff, this seems to be the new catchphrase that's really being used all around the world about what the United States is faced with.
Absolutely, and there are multiple parts to the fiscal cliff. This is just not a one-attribute term. It has to do with spending reductions that kick in due to sequestration. It has to do with the rise in tax rates that's going to happen on January 1st. It has to do with the doc fix or the SGR fix, as it's called. You have a variety. You've got another debt ceiling vote that's going to be coming up sometime during the lame duck session. So there are a variety of issues that are coming up that are all wrapped into this term fiscal cliff.
You know, there was a time when there would seem to be a direct cause and effect when the stock market would move. We think this was the reason that happened. It's interesting because yesterday the Dow Jones Industrial Average hit its highest point since December, and yet at the same time Moody's has made the announcement that the U.S. might see another downgrade in the rating of the United States. How can those two things happen in the same world?
Well, the Federal Reserve has been signaling that they are going to be accommodative and they might do quantitative easing number 3 or QE3. And as a result of that, the stock markets like that. You know, as an investor, I would be very careful because the past quantitative easings that the Federal Reserve engaged in have not really been all that helpful to the economy because you have all these fiscal problems that are coming out of Washington that just don't seem to get resolved. So, yeah, we do have a dichotomy in the way the world looks at the United States fiscal situation, but I would be more inclined to go with Moody's than I would with the stock market numbers today.
Bill Flores joining us this morning. What I find interesting, I guess, is something that maybe transcends administrations. How is it that blame can be put on any given administration for the current problems we've got when many of those problems happened before the current administration? In other words, some of the problems we have didn't happen during the Obama administration, but it ends up just kind of being a situation where it would seem the executive branch tends to overstep their bounds. And so we end up having an administration, no matter who's in office, that tends to control things.
Yeah, that's true. This administration, I think, has been particularly overreaching in terms of the way it's used executive orders to override congressional statutes and to basically just throw the Constitution out the window. That's troubling to me. And it's also been an administration that always tried to blame somebody else. I mean, it's either blame Bush or blame Japan or European problems. It seems to not want to to take the issues on itself. For instance, the Sequestration Transparency Act that we passed back in July was signed into law by the president. Then the president missed his deadline to report under it on terms of what he was going to do to enact the sequestration so the American people could see firsthand how that's going to impact them and also impact our national security. But the administration has refused to do anything about that.
And to remind people so they know what sequestration, these are significant cuts. If you remember the super committee that was put together, they were supposed to come up with some guidelines. They were not able to enact anything. And so this sequestration, which are massive cuts, which take place after the first of the year, most noticeably in defense, I think, and then also some social programs.
That's correct. And particularly on the defense side, there's been a study that was done by George Mason University that shows that could cost us 2.1 million jobs in our defense establishment. That's particularly troubling to me. We did pass an act back in early summer, that would fix sequestration and take the cuts from other areas.
Well, again, very frustrating for folks in the voter land out there because nothing's being done in Washington. And we understand there's some people who are in tight races. They need to get back to their districts and see what they can do with their states to protect their situation. Now, if that's the case, now there'll be time next week. You're going to have a town hall meeting that'll be coming up here.
That's correct. On Monday, I'm going to have a town hall meeting. It'll be at the Annenberg Presidential Center. It'll start at 6:00, and we're looking forward to wrapping up this series of town hall meetings in the southern part of the district.
Bill Flores joins us on Wednesdays when Congress is in session. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time this morning, Bill.
Scott, great being with you. I'd ask our listeners to be sure and pray for our country during these difficult times, for our military men and women, also for our first responders, particularly in light of the 11th anniversary of 9/11.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir.